Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall
The streaky Godden strikes again. 13 goals, not unlucky for a striker who now has 4 in 5 games for Coventry after enduring, by the way, 7 scoreless games at the start of the year. That came after he bagged back-to-back hat-tricks over the festive period, having gone 10 games without a goal. Just another bonkers stat in what has been a bonkers League One campaign thus far. None more so for Sunderland, who, before today's trip to St Andrews, boasted a record of 9 wins and just 1 defeat in their equally as lucky 13. That luck, however, ran out today as Phil Parkinson's men missed a chance to take Coventry's place in the automatic promotion spots. Instead, it's the Sky Blues who soar to the top of League One, while, thanks to Portsmouth's win on Friday, the Black Cats drop to 5th. We're going to be getting into all of that. We're going to have a quick look at that last gasp draw with Fleetwood during the week. We'll be looking ahead to a huge game with Gillingham, and we'll also cast our eye over the newly announced Premier League Hall of Fame. It's the Sunderland Fan Show with me, Matt Beadle, and Niall Bromley from the Roker Report.
Hey, Matt, you all right?
I'm good, mate. Yes, very good. A slight delay there. Sorry, I didn't do my usual, my customary hello. We'll get into your reaction from the game in a moment or two. But very quickly, here is what Black Cats boss Phil Parkinson had to say after the game.
Well, obviously frustrated to concede a goal early because it was a tight game and a bit of lack of communication in the middle of the pitch and defensively weren't quite right. It's proved costly because we know Coventry are a good side. Set teams at the top are obviously decent. After that, there's very little in it. Effort-wise, I thought we gave our all, but just probably lacked that bit of composure at times, you know, in the heat of the battle, just to find that extra bit of time to pick that pass to create opportunities for us to get back in the game.
That was Phil Parkinson there giving his reaction to the official club website. On the defeat today, Coventry 1, Sunderland 0 at St Andrews. A chance for Sunderland to saw themselves into the automatic promotion spots. Didn't quite manage it on the day. Instead, it's Coventry who go top of League 1. The lead at the top of League 1 has changed to teams, I think, 7 times this year. The last time that Coventry were there was all the way back in September, but they are there at the summit of League 1. Sunderland, meanwhile, dropping down into 5th spot. Niall, the game today, a large contingent of Sunderland fans travelling to St Andrews. It was actually the largest crowd they'd had in League 1 this season. More than 3,000 visiting fans. It was so close, but it was so far.
Yeah, you can't say that. To be honest with you, it was. I think the game was probably a fair result, was probably a draw. I think both sides kind of matched each other. If anything, I actually think we probably, I don't know if I'm being a bit biased, but I think we actually edged it in a sense. We had more possession. They had more shots and they had more shots on target, which is obviously the key thing. But we kept the ball. I think we played the ball better. It got a little bit desperate last 20 minutes or so, which is always going to happen. But yeah, it was just a terrible start. And it's, you know, it's the second time in a week where we've been 1-0 down, you know, before the fifth minute mark. And it's frustrating because if you've seen today, you know, it was erratic, just like what it was against Fleetwood in the first couple of minutes, you know, and there's been a couple of mistakes, and, you know, Max Power's just misjudged a header, and they've made, you know, that, to be honest, it was a good ball and it was a good finish. I think McCutton could have possibly have done better, but it was, you know, it was sloppy. It shouldn't have been happening, especially not 2 minutes in. You know, things should have been calm. You know, we should have been playing the ball. We should have just been, you know, soaking in Coventry, because they were always going to come at us, especially in the home ground. In front of their supporters. But it was, yeah, and after that, like I say, it was kind of nip and tuck, really, and it was kind of, you know, they were coming at us and we were coming at them, and the referee was letting an awful lot go in the first half, and I can't believe there was only one yellow card shown in the first half, because there was only one yellow card shown in the whole game, which is unbelievable.
To Marco Marozzi as well, the Coventry goalkeeper, the only player to be booked throughout the entire 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was unbelievable considering the tackles that were going in. And to be honest, I don't think that helped the game in a sense, because I think, it just anchored players a bit more, and players probably weren't doing what they normally do. But yeah, it was frustrating. And of course, Sunderland have always had a thing, and it feels like it anyway since we have been in League One. If we have a chance to get into the top two for one game away, it happened three or four times last season, the kind of choke. And that happened again today, and it was such a shame, because we have built up and we've been playing so well recently. And, you know, today, don't get us wrong, we played against a good side, but I don't think we played against a better side. And they're top now. I don't think they were better than us, to be honest. In fact, I don't think anyone that I've seen against us this season, possibly Peterborough away, because they hammered us, but everybody else seems to be our level or not as good as us. So I still think we can go up. I mean, there's 30 points to play for. We're 4 points off top. Off second of promotion. So, I still think that there's an opportunity there, but obviously today would have given us such a big boost in it, and we haven't been able to take it.
He said lacking a touch of class, didn't he, Phil Parkinson, on the game today. And let's talk about the defence as well, because you mentioned it at the top there, Niall. That's two goals. Now, Barry McKay, of course, for Fleetwood, 5 minutes in. Matty Godden today, 2 minutes in. I have to say, I was watching the game. It was on Sky Sports, of course, today. Oz Turk and Flanagan for that first goal, completely not at odds with each other.
No, they weren't. The communication wasn't there. And to be honest, those two, it can't happen with those two. It's normally if Willis or Billy Wright is alongside them, it hasn't, you know, it's not as dangerous. But when them two are together, it can't happen more often than not, which is frustrating. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want to sound disrespectful to the level, but League One, those things happen. I mean, let's be honest, if these players didn't have that in their locker, they probably wouldn't be playing League One football, because they've got everything else. You know, they'd probably be playing a championship minimum. So these are the sort of things that tend to happen in this league. So you kind of half forgive it, but you're right, it was sloppy. There was no communication. But after that, you know, we got more solid at the back, and we tightened up a bit, and we didn't really let Coventry through. I know they had a couple of chances where they could have scored, but I mean, you're going to have a couple of chances, but there wasn't a lot. It is frustrating, because I mean, it wasn't from a set piece, which is normally where we concede goals, but the last two, Fleetwood and today, haven't been. So, you know, maybe we've been working so hard on set pieces, we might not have been working on, you know, the general player. But yeah, it was frustrating. But I mean, they're both good defenders, and there was a lot of championship teams sniffing around Flanagan in January, so I think they'll be all right. And obviously Willis is in thereabouts as well. So I'm not taking too much from that, because like I say, they did shore it up afterwards, but it is just a shame, because so early in the game it just took everything, you know, it took everything off us, really.
I have to say as well, Denver Hume, I know he's a young lad, he's got plenty of football ahead of him, but Declan John, of course, in and around, waiting in the wings at the moment. I didn't think he had a great game today, Hume.
Today wasn't one of his better ones, to be honest with you. I thought that whole side of the field struggled today. Gooch was the same. They didn't look right. And midweek as well, they weren't great. I mean, Hume did get injured midweek, and he actually limped off against Fleetwood. So I was surprised that he was back in, but, you know, it was just a knock, and it was fine for him to come back into the team. Declan John, I think, is just there waiting for his chance. I think he probably will get his chance eventually. I think things do need to freshen up. And I mean, it is a shame for Hume live on the telly when everyone, you know, the whole world can see what he's about, because he has improved significantly under Parkinson. And he is, like you said, like you touched on, he is such a young lad still. So it is a shame that he didn't produce today, but we know what he's got. And like I said, everybody has bad games, and hopefully against Gillingham next week, he can put it right.
And that's a big one, isn't it, mate? Big game against Gillingham next week. Of course, they lost their 15-game unbeaten run against AFC Wimbledon yesterday against all odds. Two late goals in that one. Callum Riley with the winner for Wimbledon. It looks like Regan Charles Cook was going to get Gillingham a point and extend it to 16. It did not happen. That unbeaten run has ended for them, and for Sunderland to get back to winning ways, of course, especially after that draw, after that defeat, having gone four wins on the bounce prior to that, is huge. We look at League One every single week, mate. We look at the results in League One and just how bonkers it is. And it was another bonkers weekend again, wasn't it? I mean, it never, ever fails to amaze League One. I mean, we've seen some crazy results again yesterday.
Well, that's the thing. Everything went in our favour, and that's what's more frustrating, because it was such an opportunity today, you know, with Rotherham getting the draw and Wickham not getting the result. You know, of Doncaster, it was just one of them where everything went the way we wanted it to go. And unfortunately, we've just not been able to take the opportunity. And like I said before, it feels like every time we have that opportunity to get in the top two, we choke. We do. And it's such a shame, because I honestly feel if we're getting in them top two, I honestly think we wouldn't have moved from there. So it's just a shame. But like I said before, I still feel like we can get in the top two. I still think we're more than capable. We're good enough. We've got the players. What Parkinson needs to do now, and I think he should know this, I think he needs to freshen up. He said after the Fleetwood game that he might even all regret it slightly that he didn't freshen it up. And then he didn't again today. So I would be very surprised if the likes of Scowen and possibly Declan John, Lafferty, Semenyo didn't start actually next week. Because, you know, Wake, you know, you've seen today, the effort's there, but it's not dropping for him. And I think he's struggling playing that role on his own as well. So it is a bit of a shame, but I certainly think something needs to change and something does need freshened up. I get Parkinson. He wants to stick with a team that hasn't lost in so long. Of course you want to do that. And everybody loves consistency. And consistency is such a big thing in football. We all know that. But it's got to the stage where I think we're just looking a little bit leggy. And I just think he needs to change it, switch it up a bit. You've got the players there to do it, so do it. You know, you've got the depth. You had a good January when it comes to bringing players in. Use them.
I completely agree with you, mate. Absolutely agree with you. And especially on Charlie Wyke as well. Of course, had that volley that was there or thereabouts, but certainly didn't really trouble Morosi in the Coventry goal. And listen, 4 points adrift, like we keep saying, you know, you go back to Boxing Day and where the club were, it's an astronomical improvement since then. And maybe an opportunity missed. Ipswich, of course, losing against Blackpool. That's just 4 wins in 19 for them. Peterborough only bagging a draw. Wickham losing. They're stuttering, however. Gillingham, you can maybe put into that mix, but not really. They look way far behind now. Oxford United, I think, are potentially the team to worry about now. Back on the up under Carl Robinson, of course, and a win for them yesterday against Southend. And expected win, of course, but a win nonetheless. They've rocketed back up, 4 wins on the bounce. Now they're back into those playoff places as well. So it is all to play for. And I think it's just beating those teams in and around you, isn't it? And that's why the defeat today, and especially the draw with Fleetwood during the week. And let's just quickly touch on that, mate, because we haven't had a proper chance yet. You know, were you one of those fans celebrating like you won the World Cup?
Yep, I did. I did. I went absolutely mental when that went in, because it just looked like it was never going to happen. Yeah, it was one of those crazy games where Fleetwood literally time wasted after the 5th minute. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And obviously, you've got the Joey Barton thing. And
what did you make of that?
He likes to wind our fans up. The problem is we tend to bite. but yeah, he's got a big fishing rod and he throws it out there, and we're the bait, and we tend to bite. And it's a shame, because most of the things he says, I mean, he knows are just
nonsense.
It's nonsense, basically. Yeah, I mean, the fact that he said that you know, they played better football and we were just lumping the ball up the field. They had 20% more long balls than us. You know, we had 75% possession in the game. Like, they had less than half our possession. It's, you know, it's crazy, but you've got to take it with a pinch of salt, because he knows the facts. He's a clever guy. He's an intelligent bloke. He knows the facts. He's winding people up. He's also getting a lot of likes off Newcastle fans on Twitter, which is something I think he loves. So, you know, you've just got to take it like that, because that's what he's doing. I mean, to be honest, we weren't celebrating drawing against Fleetwood like we won the World Cup. We were celebrating getting a point against a good team who's on the up. And again, they had won 5 games in a row, and it was the last kick of the game, literally the last kick. Of course, we're going to celebrate. It would have happened if we'd scored that goal against anybody else in the league. So, Fleetwood Town or not Fleetwood Town. I mean, if he quite enjoys belittling them. I mean, he quite talks about how that's just little club and they don't have any money. I mean, I don't know if I was the chairman of Fleetwood, if I would enjoy my manager coming out saying things like that. But, you know, he quite enjoys doing it, and fair enough, he gets his likes on Twitter off his Newcastle fans. But in all honesty, I think every football expert, everyone who knows a little bit about football, know that he is just out there for the bite, really.
I did think that was funny, actually, when he said little old Fleetwood Town. He seemed to really emphasise that as well. I love the fact that he said you'd rather come and pay to watch us play as well. All you do is bang long balls up to Cole Lafferty and Charlie White, mate. That's all you do. That's all Phil Parkinson's got in his locker.
that's all he's got in his locker, yeah. I mean, if you'd seen the goal we scored against Bristol Rovers on the weekend before, when, you know, it was this crazy amount of passes, I can't remember the exact number, which Gooch finished off in the end. It was the first goal, and I don't think he'd be saying that, to be honest with you. But, yeah, like they made Wickham look like an honest football team, and that's scary to say. So, it was a strange one, but, you know, I think a point again was probably deserved. Like, I think a point was deserved today, but today didn't come because Compey are a better team than Fleetwood, but I don't think they're better than us.
No, and just a quick word on Cole Lafferty, who I mentioned there as well. He came on with around 20 minutes to go today. He seemed to have a few choice words for the assistant referee, but we won't even go into that. Clearly offside, Luke 09 from Max Power's shot, so we'll nip that one in the bud straight off the bat. How's he doing for you since he arrived? I know we've spoken about him a few times, but not for a few weeks now. He hasn't yet got on the score sheet for Sunderland. What's his impression been like?
Yeah, he's. Like you say, he's only been coming on last 20 minutes or so. That's basically been his role so far. Like I've said to you in the past, he's there as Wikes in the study, I think, at the minute. And I think, like I just said before, I think we do need to freshen up. I think Mike possibly does need to come out with the team for a bit, and Lafferty will probably step up, and we'll see what happens. He's obviously a big lad. We've seen throughout his career, he can score goals. He hasn't got great numbers when it comes to scoring goals, but, you know, he scored big goals against big teams, you know, especially for Northern Ireland. He's played against some great teams and scored goals. So we know he's got it in him. But like you see, he's 34. He's, you know, he is at the latter part of his career. So it's just managing him, not burning him out, because, like I say, I don't know if there's 90 minutes in him. If there is, great. If there's not, then even if it's not White coming off the bench, you've got Semenyo, young lad, chopping at the bit to get his chance. And you've also got Will Gray.
There you go, mate. I was waiting for that. Yeah, back on the bench today.
Back on the bench. So, you know, we have got options. And that's why, I mean, I'm sorry, but any other team in the league would love to have them three options on the bench, you know, striking, attacking options. I mean, they'd love it. So we have it, and it's a superpower, and we need to use it because, like I say, as I said before, we need freshen up. I would like to see Lafferty start against Gillingham. Gillingham are a big team. They're strong, they're physical, and they're a good team as well. And, you know, you've got Conor Ogilvie at the back. He's massive. You've got big players. So, yeah, I think Lafferty might get in about there, and it'll be interesting to see if he throws him in. I kind of hope he does, but we don't know what Parky is. We're not sure. He's a little bit stunned with that team at the minute, but fingers crossed, I think he will freshen it up.
Yep, that remains to be seen. Gillingham next up for Sunderland. It was Coventry today, a 1-0 defeat, which incidentally 20 years ago, almost to the day, was actually a Premier League encounter. Coventry winning that one on the day at Highfield Road 3-2. Gordon Strachan, the manager there. How times have changed, of course. And that leads us nicely into our chat about the Premier League Hall of Fame coming next on the Sunderland Fan Show here on Love Sport.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Sunderland fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beale, and Niall Bromley with you for around 8 minutes more on this Sunday evening. Now, Niall, we've covered the Coventry game in depth. We've done the Fleetwood game. We've looked ahead to Gillingham. So let's just recline in our chairs, put our feet up, and remember a time when Sunderland were in the Premier League. Because news was revealed, announced this week, that the Premier League are going to launch a Hall of Fame. Now, the first inductees will be announced mid-March, so keep saying it will be probably Alan Shearer, sorry mate, plus one other that will be those first two entrants into that. And then nominees are going to be thrown out. I believe fans are going to have to vote. We don't know the exact ways of how this is going to work. Maybe some journos chucked in. Maybe clubs will get to nominate a few players themselves. But Sunderland, an established Premier League side back in the day, of course. It's been a while, but certainly had your fair share of seasons there. We're asking all our fans throughout all the fan shows here that we do on Love Sport, and I've been doing it throughout the week, and you, my friend, are the final one. So we've saved the best till last, of course. If you could pick a few players, we can get a discussion going about a Sunderland player to be in the Premier League Hall of Fame. Who would he or they be?
It's actually a tough one for Sunderland because we did have 10 years in the Premier League, and before that in the noughties we had more of a yo-yo team back then, so it was kind of we didn't have long stints. So, and before that as well, so like the likes of Kevin Ball, he was a great servant for Sunderland, but he spent most of his time not in the Premier League. So it's difficult, but obviously the name that sticks out. And I think he probably should be in there because he's actually the last English player to win the European Golden Boot. So Super Kevin Phillips, for me, I would have him in. I mean, there's going to be names. You look at Shearer, I know he played for them up the road. But Alan Shearer, you know, he's got the Premier League goal record. He's got to be in there. Phillips is nowhere near that. So is Kevin Phillips going to get in? I don't know, but because of the fact he won the European Golden Boot and in his debut Premier League season scored 30 goals, that's, for me, he would be the standout Sunderland player that you would have to put in if you were going to put one in.
It has to be, doesn't it? Absolutely has to be Super Kev. I think there's no shadow of a doubt that, yeah, those 30 goals that you speak of in that brilliant campaign when you came up, him and Niall Quinn were just so good, weren't they, up front together, that big man and little man partnership, which I don't think we've ever properly seen again since, really, in the Premier League. You look at this season, maybe Diogo Jota and Raul Jimenez kind of doing that for Wolves, but in a slightly different way to the way that Niall Quinn used to knock them down for Kevin Phillips. I can't remember, there was one game, it might have even been Chelsea, when he literally just chested it down, a beautiful half volley from Kevin Phillips. Brilliant goal on that occasion. I was actually looking back to your first season in the Premier League as a result of having this discussion, Niall, and the 96-97 campaign. And I'd completely forgotten, or I maybe didn't even remember, that, you know, you only lost one of your first five, and three of those games in your first five were goalless draws.
And we I think we murdered Nottingham Forest. We hammered, I think it was like 4-1 or something at City Ground. And I think Brian Clough might have been their manager. Was he their manager at the time?
He'd finished in 93,
So he'd gone. But yeah, I was only a little nipper back then, so it's a bit difficult. But yeah, it was an interesting season because we beat Man United at Roker Park and stuff like that. We got a good draw against Newcastle at St James's, and a really strange one because there was no away fans allowed in the game, and Michael Gray scored, and whenever you see that goal, it's just, there's no noise whatsoever, just a tiny little cheer you hear from the Sunderland bench, that was it. And but there's iconic, you know, games from that season, which we like the Manchester United, the famous Eric Cantona goal, like you see every week, where he chips the goalkeeper, he chips Perez in the Sunderland goal. You know, that's from that season. And and stuff like that. So it was an interesting one for us. But obviously we got relegated at the end of it, so it was a bit of a shame, but possibly a blessing, because that then put us in good stead for what was yet to come. Because obviously the year after that was the Charlton year, where we got beat against Charlton in the playoff final, heartbreak. But then we went and broke their record points in the Division One at the time. We got 105 points. And then that was when you had the golden era Sunderland team that finished 7-2 years in a row, beating Newcastle at St James's Park 2 years in a row, and like you said, touched on before, against Chelsea when Phillips scored the volley, we beat them 4-1 that day. And they were amazing, and the whole team were a team full of grafters. You know, you had Stefan Schwartz, Kevin Kilbane. You had some absolutely brilliant players in that team. You know, Mickey Gray was fantastic. Don Hutchinson came into that team, and we just had a really good understanding. And even the players coming off the bench, Danny Diccio and players like that, we were a great team. Gavin McCann. I mean, I could sit here forever talking about that season because it was fantastic. So yeah, it was a bit of a roller coaster ride. But like you say, it's a bit tough for the Hall of Fame because I don't think we've been there for long enough to really have it. And in that 10-year stint we just had, it was every season was a bit of a rebuilding because we're always fighting relegation. So every summer was a bit of a rebuilding project, you know. Obviously, if it was a Sunderland Hall of Fame, you'd have Lee Catlemore in there, you'd have Danny Collins in there, Nairon Nosworthy, but none of them are Premier League Hall of Fame worthy, unfortunately.
No, great answer, mate, absolutely. And that 96-97 season as well, just to finish on that, it was kind of the season before the season, wasn't it? Because we had the Premier Passions documentary and the fact that the club was slightly mocked, really, for that, and the fact that it didn't quite work, didn't come across that well, especially when you look at the polished documentaries that we see nowadays on Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever it may be. But the club, you could tell they had the right idea at the time. It was just maybe a season or two early, but mate, great memories, wonderful memories. A win against Arsenal, I think, in that campaign too. But yeah, nice. Yeah. Okay, so we're going with Kevin Phillips as the legend to be inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame from Sunderland.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I don't, like I say, there's nobody else could really. I'll tell you who would have been in there if he hadn't left. Darren Bent would have been in there if he hadn't left us for Aston Villa. He would have been a Sunderland legend if he had stayed. But yeah, Kevin Phillips, definitely.
Niall, thank you very much for your time, as always, on this. The Sunderland Fans Show here on Love Sport. The Black Cats missing an opportunity to supplant Coventry in those automatic promotion spots today. A 1-0 defeat at St Andrews. Matty Godden with the only goal of the game 2 minutes in. Incredibly, for such what was really a feisty atmosphere, under all the elements, we had rain, we had sleet, we had wind, we had all sorts. There was only one booking, and that was for Coventry goalkeeper Marco Morosi. And that wasn't even for a foulers because he threw the ball away. But it is a draw and a defeat for Sunderland over the past week. Next up, it's Gillingham. They'll need a win. We'll bring you all the reaction from that next week on the Sunderland Fan Show here on Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.